if you got the place there, Mark. And notice that, if you will, over there in chapter number 45, verse 25. We're going to read about three verses here before we pray. Verse 25 of chapter 43, book of Isaiah. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Boy, that's a blessing, and I hope that can be said about you. I hope and trust and pray that if it's not, you'll get it settled. Verse chapter 44 now, Isaiah verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, and break forth and sing in ye mountains and old forest and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We praise you and thank you that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there is none else. Now, I pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Thank you for these that you've saved here of late. Lord, for being able to follow the Lord in baptism, and us to be able to witness that. Now bless, I pray, this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on this subject. It's either you or your sins. One of these days you're going to leave this world, and I hope that whenever you leave that you've had your sins blotted out and God doesn't remember them anymore. If God does remember them, it's because you're not born again. In the Bible lesson, let me say to you that we're born sinners. We're born without hope. We're born without God. The Bible said all have sinned and they've come short of the glory of God. The Bible said that you and I can have, by the grace of God, be justified freely by His grace, and that you and I, which is in, have redemption, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all that's over in the book of Romans in about chapter number 3. Now, I want to tell you that according to that chapter in verse number 26, the Bible said, they which believeth in Jesus. Now, have you really and truly believed in Jesus? Now, I know a lot of people believing in their denomination or believing in the denomination of a church, a Baptist, a Methodist, or whatever it is that they're doing. But I'm not asking you about your denomination. I'm asking you about your destination. Have you really and truly believed on the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ? This message is going to involve, number one, while you turn, and do not lose the thought of this, but while you turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 2, and I want you to look at a passage over there in just a moment, but I want to say to you that it involves forgiveness. I don't know about you, but thank God my sins are gone. Now, they've been forgiven and they're gone. Let me tell you, God put them in the sea of forgetfulness and remembers them no more against me. You can say that too if you're a child of God. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, the book of Ephesians, in chapter number 2, in verse number 1, you've got the place there. Let me say to you, the remissions of sins involves not only the present, but the future and that which was past. You know, since you and I got saved, we've got a past life. I know a lot of Baptists, they don't have a past life. They like to tell the same lie. They go to the same honky-tonk, drink the same liquor, commit the same adultery and fornication. They lie, they cheat, they connive, and then say as they wipe their mouth, like that harlot did over there in Proverbs, I've done nothing wrong. In this Bible lesson you're looking at in verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Did you see that word were in them? If you're a child of God, that's a past thing. I'm not dead in trespasses and sins any longer, but if you've never come to him as an empty-handed beggar, you've never asked him to save you, you've not been washed by the blood of the Lamb, it's not a past thing with you, it's a present thing with you, but it can become a past thing. Notice, if you will, please, in verse number 2, wherein in time past, look at that. That Bible said you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the hour, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had our conversation. Look, in time past, these are things that are in time past. God saved us out of it. Lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I got to say to you is that you'll find that in times past, we ran with that crowd, we talked with that crowd, we did what they were doing, looked like they looked, went where they went, and let me tell you, that's time past. Now I'm a new creature, and you're a new creature in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, don't turn there. In verse number 22, now you and I, we follow with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that in verse number four, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. I got to tell you, we once had the nature of sin, the nature of wrath upon us, but now God in his mercy, in his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. Together with Christ by grace, are you saying that he hath raised us up together to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Now watch it, that in the ages to come, God don't save you just for a few days. And no, he'll save you, and it'll be from, we're always saying, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Let me say to you that if you will, that in the ages to come. You know the reason why whenever I look out across here, I expect to see most of you in heaven. And by that, you're thinking, boy, is he thinking about me? I don't know, am I? I wasn't thinking about anybody, just for your information. I wasn't thinking about anybody. If I do look at you while I'm preaching, I might be wanting some help, like an amen or something. See? I mean, don't look back at me like it was your wife not happy with the way, and that look she gives you. Hey, y'all don't act a hypocrite with me. You know exactly what I'm talking about. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, in the ages to come. Isn't that something how, you know, we never deal with that passage there very much in verse 7. That in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And that's then the next passage, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. I want to tell you something right now. If God saved you, it'll be for all the ages to come. And I'm glad to know that I'm saved right now. And let me tell you right now, I don't always feel saved, but I'm saved. I may not always act saved, but I am saved. If you get to where you're out of step with God and he smites your heart and makes you sick of yourself like he sees you, I'm glad to know if you're a child of God, you'll either get straightened up or he'll finally chastise you and scourge you until he finally corrects you. As a child of God, let me say to you that when you begin to look, it's either going to be you or it's going to be your sins when you end up in this world we're living in. I hope you're not going to end up with sins. If you do, God will see it. God remembers it. God, and you know the reason why, don't you? Because God has not atoned for you, and that you have not accepted that atonement that he did for you over 2,000 years ago. Now, somebody said, well, you mean since the day you got saved, you never sinned again? In the mind of God, I hadn't. In the mind of God, I'm his, he's mine. He lives in the dirtiest place you ever imagined. The deceitfulness of man is in his heart. And let me tell you, he lives on the inside of me. And if you're a child of God, he lives on the inside of you. And let me say to you that, if you will, there's never been one that was stillborn. Every child of God that's ever been birthed into the family of God is born hungry for the Word of God. First of all, they're born for the milk, the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Then you're interested in the meat that's a little stronger, a little more chewing, and a little harder to digest. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, the Bible said, is that that if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you remember over there in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1, it was about verse number 18, he said, come now and let us reason together. Let me tell you something, though your sins be blood stained like blood or like crimson or like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. You see that? In this Bible lesson you're looking at, let me say to you that, you know, if you try to cover your sins, you'll not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I got to say that when you begin to look into it, is that My sins are forgiven. My sins are forgotten. And you can say that too if you know him as your personal Lord and Savior of your heart and your life. The Bible said that when you begin to look into these passages that we've been looking at, that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe it. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18, you'll find that passage that's there. And let me tell you, the list goes on and on. And make no mistake about it, there are those that will believe it, they get born again. There are those that will not believe it. And as a result of that, they'd rather hang on to their sins. And God hadn't forgotten about their sin. God remembers it, that they refuse to repent toward God and by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Over there in the book of Revelation, it's a passage, it's a familiar passage to you. It's in chapter number 21, and it's about verse number 8. There's something there that we ought to look at in that chapter, Revelation 21, and about verse number 8 as we look there in the passage. The Bible said, but the fearful... This is a list that's going to hell, by the way. And the fearful and the unbelieving. Look at that. I mean, he goes on down to name the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liar and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But did you notice the second one in the list that's there? The unbeliever. People just could not believe it. I've talked to people before and asked them, hey, wouldn't you want to trust the Lord as your Savior and Lord of your life? Let me tell you right now, you know, if I ask you if you're saved, you better have something a little stronger and a little clearer than Franklin Graham's offering you on TV. You better have something more than that. There ain't no such thing as bow your head and repeat this prayer. And now call that number. If you need a Bible, we'll give you one of them too. You better have something real from the hand and from the heart of God. We were talking about in Sunday school. When Jesus walked up there, that great multitude that was at the pool of Bethesda, and there was a great multitude there waiting for the stirring of the water, and he saw one man that he went up to, just one. I got to say to you, make no mistake, if you're that one person this morning, if you're that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, and God comes knocking on your heart, he's chosen you. And he'll give you repentance. He'll give you faith. And you can be born again into the family of God. Notice a passage over there in about 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'll give you a moment to find that. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And as we look there in about verse number 24, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24. Now watch this here. In verse number 24, the Bible says of 1 Peter chapter 2, who his own self, talking about Jesus Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. And for ye were as sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Now watch these passages, what you're looking at. We once were dead in trespasses and sins. That's what we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 2. Once we're dead in trespasses and sin. Now we are dead, according to 1 Peter chapter 2. We are dead to sin. We once were dead in sin. Now we're dead to sin. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. That's all you'll ever get for it. Death is separation. If you died right now, you'll be separated from the rest of us that are alive in this world. But I want to tell you something. If you die without the Lord, you'll be separated in a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched for all eternity. See, in this Bible lesson we're looking at, let me say to you, over there in the book of Revelation chapter number 18, about verse number 5, is that God talked about that whore of Revelation. He talked about that harlot. And he talked about those that she had done business with all that time. And the Bible said in chapter 18, verse 5 of Revelation, and her sins, they were not forgotten, they were not forgiven, but they reached to heaven, and God remembered her for her iniquity. Now I want to say that when you begin to look into this, the reason why God remembered her sin and her iniquity, because they had not been blotted out. you're here this morning, and I'm asking you, has your sins been blotted out? Only one can do it for you. Psalms 85, turn quickly there as we get ready to close. But in Psalm chapter number 85, there's a passage there that I think it'd be good that if we looked at about verse number 2 in the book of Psalm chapter and number 85. Psalms 85 and about verse number 2. Here's what he says. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, and thou hast covered all their sin. I will tell you, when God looks at you and I that are redeemed and anybody that's a child of God, when you've trusted Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, when you've called upon Him with all of your heart, your soul, and your might, and your mind, when you've trusted the Lord, He no longer remembers your sins because of the fact they've been wiped as clean and as white as snow. Somebody said, hey, do you see so-and-so's sins? And if it's a child of God, he could show you something whiter than snow. Now, I don't know what you'd get whiter than snow. But his sins and my sins and your sins have been washed white as snow. And therefore, when God looks at it, you know the reason why it's white as snow? He blotted them out. He blotted them out. And let me say to you, if your sins have not been blotted out, you're in trouble here this morning. But I've got good news for you. You could come to Him as an empty-handed beggar. Matthew chapter 1, about verse 21, the Bible said that when the Lord Jesus Christ was about to be born, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people, look, from their sins. I will say again to you and remind you, when you come to the end of the road, whereabouts are your sins? It's either you going to get in or your sins that'll keep you out. You made up your mind, I'm not coming as an empty-handed. I'm not asking Him to do nothing for me. I know people that'll tell you, you know, I went to church all my life. I ain't going no more. Because you didn't get anything while you was going. I mean, see what I'm talking about? Now, do you get tired of going to church? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. There's just sometimes it's just an inopportune time for you and I. And don't sit out there and look pious to me like, yeah, don't sit out, oh, yeah, I ain't never had nothing like that. You're lying. And God's going to forgive you anyway, and He'll wash you white as snow and make you all that. I just said to you that if you will, why do you think some of those apostles said, Lord, my spirit's willing, but my flesh is weak. I had a woman tell me one time she came just sniffling and bawling. And said, she's not here this morning, so don't be looking around at your wife. I just don't think I'm saved. I just don't think I'm saved. Why don't you think you're saved? Well, sometimes I lose my temper. Well, what else? Well, I mean, you know, I'm not just talking about getting a little mad. I'm talking about slinging glasses, plates, and pots and pans at him and this. I said, at your husband. Well, don't worry about that, sis. I mean, God understands that. Hey. If I was married to him, I'd be throwing junk at him too. But what else? Well, that's pretty much it. I said, well, that ain't no sign of being lost without God. You're just a mean woman. She was able to grin and able to get, let me just tell you right now, you better not put too much confidence in the arm of the flesh. See what I'm talking about? I can't tell you how many people, and this doesn't bring a lot of consolation, but it's the truth of the matter, complaining about their spouse. I said, that's terrible. That's terrible that you've got such a spouse like that. Why'd you pick it? Why'd you pick that one for? You know what the problem is, don't you? There's too many marriages, I guarantee you right now, that they hope was made in heaven. It ended up having the flames of hell scorching things. What was that years ago? Let's see if I can get it right. That old boy came up to his mother-in-law's coffin, and he stood there, and big old tears swelled up in his eyes. And he was standing there, and of course it irritated his wife. What in the world's the matter with you? You know good and well you never loved my mama, and my mama never loved you. Why are you standing there bawling for? I thought I'd seen her move. That was rough, wasn't it? I want to say in closing that, if you will, that I'm glad that God's given us some heaven to be able to go to heaven in. I'm glad He's given us the Spirit of God to seal us till the day of redemption. I'm glad that He's given us the Holy Ghost of God in our heart to be able to lead us and guide us and direct us into all the truth. His Word is the truth. I'm glad that God, buddy, has got grace and mercy to bestow upon you and I that are children of God, that have been born into His family. And when it comes my time to leave this world, I'm leaving here as clean and washed, have been washed white as snow, because He's blotted out my transgression. Not dragging anything behind, and neither will you that are born again here this morning. Now the question is, if it's either you or your sins, when did you come and get born again and washed by the blood of the Lamb? Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our song director's coming. Maybe you're here and say, "Preacher, I need something real from the hand and from the heart of God. I don't want to spend the rest of my day just wondering if and but maybe. I want to know in whom that I have believed and be persuaded that that which I've committed unto Him, He's able to keep unto that day." Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of Thy Word as we get ready to sing the invitation song. There may be somebody say, "Preacher, I just want to pray for a family member, maybe for themselves, maybe for somebody they know that's dear to their heart." Whatever the need is, Lord, Thou knowest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.